All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're in fellowship, that you employ the rebound technique as necessary so that God the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us and direct us in our life as so intended. And as a grace benefit provided for us, one of the weapons of victory in regards to our own Christian life, so that we can understand and know God's plan and serve God in action with honor, rather than action without honor, spinning our wheels otherwise out of fellowship, and obviously running the high risk totally in regards to distorting or rationalizing Bible doctrine otherwise. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask you bless us in our understanding of these things, the assimilation of it, and put it in its proper perspective for our own benefit and application in our own Christian lives, via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in the previous scene, scene number 8, verses 15 and 16. In spite of and in light of the angel's note of urgency that Lot needed to move immediately, drop whatever he's doing, and get out of town, we saw that Lot hesitated. And in spite of his hesitation, God has compassion upon him, recognizing, obviously, his status as a believer and God's intentions otherwise to deliver Lot from the situation of the judgment in this vein. And the angels, if you will, grab Lot, his wife, each by one angel by each of their hands, and their two daughters by the angel, other angel, and lead them out of Sodom, recognizing that God will engage or exercise his power in circumstances, situations, through means available to provide deliverances and other aspects of the believer's life necessary to fulfill his plan for their life in spite of their own weakness of faith, etc., as God so determines. And he gets Lot and family out of town, but they're not in the safe zone yet. And here in verses 17 through 22, in scene number 9, I've titled this Lot's Compromise. Obviously, his hesitation reflects the type of volitional aptitude of Lot in regards to his life as the adjusted believer. Would have not asked any questions, would not have hesitated, and would simply moved out according to the angel's demands, divine viewpoint otherwise. And that hesitation now manifests itself in another aspect of Lot's situation scenario here. So, looking at verses 17 through 22 here as a unit. Looking at the Hebrew, and it came about when they, the two angels, had brought them outside the town, that one said, "Escape for your life." And it came about as a vowel consecutive with the cal imperfect third masculine singular, our verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. When they had brought them outside, you have the preposition kaf, simply the backward-looking C in the Hebrew, plus the hifil infinitive construct with the third masculine plural suffix yatsah, Y-A-T-S-A. Literally, when having brought out them, you have the sign of the direct object, with the third masculine plural suffix attached to them, to it, F, E-T-H. Then you have the definite article, the common masculine singular noun, absolute, or word for outside, chutz, C-H-U-T-S. That one said, while consecutive, our verb to speak here, say, cal and perfect third masculine singular, amar, A-M-A-R. Escape for your life. Escape is the nifal, imperative masculine singular of our verb malath, M-A-L-A-T-H. In the passive, be delivered, literally. Hence, escape. For your life is literally for your soul, preposition all, A-L, plus your common feminine singular noun constructed second masculine singular suffix, a word for soul, nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. So the angel gives him a series of commands with a warning here. The second, then, in sequence of commands, do not look behind you. And then third, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. You had the negative adverb all, A-L. Then the hifil, imperfect second masculine singular verb, here just even meaning our word naboth, N-A-B-A-T-H. Let you not cause to look. Behind you is the adverb with the second masculine singular suffix, akare, A-C-H-A-R-E-Y. And, while conjunction, do not stay. You have the adverb, negative adverb, all repeated, A-L. Followed with the verb, cal, imperfect second masculine singular, amad, A-M-A-D. Remain or stay. Anywhere in the valley, you had the preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular noun construct kol, K-O-L. In all of, if you will, hence anywhere, in the valley, the valley is the definite article with the common feminine singular absolute noun, kikar, K-I-K-K-A-R, literally, it means a round disc, geographically. Hence the plain of the valley. The fourth command before the warning and followed with the warning, escape to the mountains lest you be swept away. You have first the mountains in the Hebrew, definite article, common masculine singular noun, absolute har, a word for mountains or hills as it may be. The hills escape or be delivered. Again, you have the nifal, imperative masculine singular, our word again, malath, M-A-L-A-T-H. Lest is a conjunction pen, P-E-N. You will be swept away is the nifal, imperfect second masculine singular, the noun safah, S-A-P-H-A-H. The verb safal, excuse me, not noun. Verse 18. So we once again see the character of Lot. But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords." Wow, consecutive. Cal and perfect third masculine singular, Amar, and he said, proper noun Lot. To them is the preposition L with the third masculine plural suffix EL. Literally, no, please, lords or sirs, an address of respect. Negative adverb all plus the interjectory particle na, no, please. Then our proper noun Adonai or Adonai, A D O N A Y. Verse 19, now behold, your servant has found favor or grace in your sight. You had the interjectory particle henna, H-I-N-N-E-H, behold, now, interjectory particle na, again repeated, N-A, behold now, has found is the Cal perfect third masculine singer, matsa, M-A-T-S-A. Your servant is a common masculine singer construct with the second masculine singer suffix abed, abed, E-E-E-D. Favor or grace, as it may be, translated, common masculine singer noun, absolute kin, C-H-E-N. In your sight is literally in your eyes, preposition bet, with the common both genders, dual number, construct, second masculine singer suffix our word ion, since there's two eyes in the normal person, A-Y-I-N. It continues on, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. Wow, consecutive. Follow with the hifel imperfect second masculine singer, our verb gadal, G-A-D-A-L. You have cause to make great, if you will, hence magnified. Your loving kindness is our noun, common masculine singer struck here with the second masculine singer suffix kesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, kind of akin to our divine love, if you will. Your loving kindness, which you have shown me. Relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. To show is a cal perfect second masculine singer, our verb asah, A-S-A-H, translated in many different ways, you did or shown here, with me literally, preposition with the first common singular suffix, imad, I-M-M-A-D, imad, by saving my life. You have the preposition lamed with the hifil infinitive construct, a common construction of the infinitive with the preposition lamed to our verb kaya, C-H-A-Y-A-H, causing to live or remain alive, sign a direct object, follow with the noun common feminine singular construct, first common singular suffix, again our word for soul, nefesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. But I cannot escape to the mountains lest a disaster overtake me and I die. So he has an excuse here of at least not following part of the expected commands. But I cannot escape to the mountains. Wow, conjunction, emphatic pronoun, use of the pronoun, first common singer, Anoki, I myself, A-N-O-K-I-Y, and not able, literally translated cannot. You have the negative lo, L-O, plus the verb cal imperfect, first common singer, yakol, Y-A-K-O-L. To escape is separate, is again the construction with the preposition lamed and the infinitive here, nifal, construct, malath, M-A-L-A-T-H. To the mountains, definite article, our noun, har, for mountains, common masculine singer, H-A-R, absolute. Lest, our conjunction pen again, we saw earlier. The disaster overtake me and I die. You have the lest followed with the verb cal, perfect third feminine singer, with the first common singer suffix, davak, davak, D-A-B-A-Q. It means literally to cling, cleave, or stick to. Hence translated, overtake, can't get away from it. See. Hence overtake is the idea, the proper idea. Here, the disaster is the definite article with the adjective feminine singer absolute, ra'ah, R-A-A-H. and, I die, while consecutive, our verb for death here, cal perfect, first common singular, muth, M-U-T-H. And I will die as the result. Verse 20, now he has a compromise. He has an alternative he's going to propose. Now, behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Interjectory particle henna plus the interjectory particle na, typical construction. Now, behold, this town is a definite article with a common feminine singular absolute noun, ear, I-Y-R, plus the definite article with the adjective feminine singular zoth, C-O-T-H. The town, this one, literally, this town, is near. The predicate adjective feminine singular absolute, karov, K or Q-A-R-O-B. Karov is near, to flee there. Preposition lamed, again the cal infinitive use of the verb construct nous, N-U-S. There is the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And it is small, vowel conjunction, plus the pronoun third feminine singular, and itself is literally he. I don't have it transliterated there. H-I-Y is small, is a common masculine singular absolute, mitzar, M-I-T-S-E-A-R, mitzar, a small thing or insignificant, as it may be rendered. Please let me escape there. And in parentheses, is it not small? let me escape, please. First you have the verb to let me escape, our verb maloth, repeated here, the nifal, imperfect, M-A-L-A-T-H. Please follows in the interjectory particle na, N-A. There, adverb sham, S-H-A-M. Then you had the interrogative particle, followed with a negative particle, lo, L-O. Is it not? Then our word for small again, noun common masculine singular absolute, mitzar, is self, pronoun he, third feminine singular, H-I-Y. That my life may be saved. You had the wow consecutive. Then our verb to live, literally, cal imperfect third feminine singular, kaya, C-H-A-Y-A-H. Let it live, my soul or life. Our word for soul, nephesh, repeated, common feminine singular construct here with the first common singular suffix. Verse 21. And he said to him, this obviously the angel now responding, behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. It's interesting that he doesn't give him a direct approval. He just simply, all right, we won't overthrow the town. So, take it for what it's worth. The angel doesn't necessarily like his alternative. That's the idea. We'll bring that out in the notes to a certain degree at least. And he said to him, while consecutive, typical construction, our verb amar, A-M-A-R. He said, cal imperfect third masculine singular, to him, preposition el, E-L, with the third masculine singular suffix. Behold, interjectory particle, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. The verb I grant is the cal perfect first common singular, nasa, N-A-S-A, literally means to lift or carry. Will assume the burden of the request, the weight of the request. I grant. You is literally the common both plural construct with the second masculine singular suffix noun paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Literally your face, your presence. Also is your conjunction gam, G-A-M. This request also. Then you have the definite article, noun, common masculine singular absolute, dabar, dabar, D-A-B-A-R. Also to the matter, that's your idea of request. I grant your presence also to the matter. Not to overthrow the town. You have the definite article, adjective, masculine singular, zeh, Z-E-H. Literally this one. To not is the preposition lamed, followed with the second preposition boleti, B-O-L-E-T-T-I-Y. Two prepositions. To not overthrow it, literally. You have the verb, cal infinitive, construct, goes back with your preposition lamed, with the first common singular suffix, hafak, A-P-H-A-K, hafak, overthrow it. You have sign of direct object, definite article, common feminine singular, noun or word, translated either city or town as it may be. Here, obviously, a small city is, we would consider it a town, I-Y-R. Which, literally, you had spoken. Relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R. Followed with the P-L, perfect second maximum singular, Dabar, rather than matter, thing, to speak. It can be translated any of those ways. Here, you have spoken, D-A-B-A-R. Verse 22, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Hurry is your cal imperative, masculine singular, mahar, M-A-H-A-R. Hurry or hasten, escape, or verb maloth, used some five times in our verses here. Nifal, imperative, masculine singular, M-A-L-A-T-H. There, adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And he gives reason for hurrying, because conjunction key, K-I-Y. I am not able, literally, to do anything. I'm not able is your combination negative particle lo, similar to that we saw earlier, L-O, plus your verb yakal, Y-A-K-O-L, count perfect, first common singular. To do is the preposition lamed with the infinitive cal construct asa, A-S-A-H. Anything is the noun davar, repeated, D-A-B-A-R. The matter is at hand of judgment, that's the idea. Until you arrive there. Until is your preposition ad, or ad, A-D. You arrive is a cal infinitive. Construct the second masculine singular suffix, bo, come or go, hence arrive, B-O. There, adverb sham, repeat it. Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. Therefore is the combination of the preposition al, A-L, plus adverb kin. Therefore, as thus, he called, literally, cal perfect third masculine singular, or verb kara, Q-A-R-A. The name of the city, name is your common masculine singular construct, shem, S-H-E-M, city, with the definite article, common feminine singular, absolute, here. And then our name here, Zoar, transliterated, T-S-O, A-R, Zoar, Soar. All right. Rereading the six verses here, basically. Verse 17, and it came about when they had brought them outside, that one of the angels said, escape for your soul or your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away. Verse 18, but Lot said to them, oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found grace or favor in your sight. And you have magnified your loving kindness, have shown it to a large extent, is the idea, which you have shown me by saving my soul or my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, his excuse, unless a disaster overtake me and I die. Verse 20, now behold, the alternative. This town is near enough to flee to, and it is insignificant, small. Please let me escape there. Is it not insignificant? What's that in regards to the scheme of the things is the idea. That my life may be saved. Verse 21, and he said to him, the angel responding to Lot, behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Verse 22, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. Analysis of verses 17 through 22, 1. Even though Lot and family have been escorted out of Sodom, they are not out of the proverbial woods yet. They're still not on safe ground to enjoy deliverance. In order for complete deliverance, it required obedience to additional divine directives, at least in part. And that's what makes the verse commands challenging to figure out what is going on here in this respect. This illustrates that deliverance for believers under such circumstances requires a willingness to make certain application, that additional imperatives, commands, were expected to be followed, recognizes the necessary application of the believer for them to be delivered or escape the judgment that's going to occur otherwise. So, point four, while God may provide the doctrine and circumstances pointing them in the right direction, which he has done so completely by sending the two angels, delivering Lot from the mob, taking them by hand and like children, taking them outside the city, leading in that regards. But they still must exercise a determination to go ahead and make the application necessary as expected for their complete deliverance to be enjoyed. So while God may provide the doctrine and circumstances pointing them in the right direction, they must follow through in application. God will not force the grace of deliverance on them. As it is, and as we have for these exceptional, if you will, occurrences of judgment upon mankind. Here in Sodom, we know it will occur again in regards to prophetic Babylon, to get out of her, my people, etc. God provides, and he will obviously, in control of circumstances, situations, even do things in our life to point us in the right direction, to show us the avenue of escape. He provides the doctrine, etc. But as far as it goes to get out of the dilemma and to escape, one has to make the application and get the hell out of Dodge, whether it's Sodom or whether it's Babylon. Obviously, those believers who are not adhered to the warning in the book of Revelation will get fired up just like the rest of the people that are still on this continent when the nukes go off. So, it recognizes the principle that God provides salvation, if you will, universally, through unlimited atonement, etc. He provides the gospel message, but he doesn't force people to believe. And he may put them through the ringer, other aspects in order to get them to the truth, to put them in a circumstance situation, see the detrimental position that they're in, apart from making salvation or being delivered, etc., etc. But they still got to cross that line, see. They still got to cross that line, and they got to make the application. Here, obviously, we're looking at being delivered from certain death for themselves by being in the same region that God is going to basically obliterate through divine supernatural means otherwise. So people that have the idea that, you know, well, if God wants me to do this, then he'll put my nose in it. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Truly, it still is up to you to make the application when it comes down to it. God does not force his grace on anybody. He's a perfect gentleman. See, a perfect gentleman. Here it is, my free gift. It's yours for the taking. No works for salvation, phase one. SG3, application of the doctrine, being in fellowship, and you know, all these things. But if you don't want it, fine. Fine. But the warning is, if you don't accept it, then you have to accept the alternative that is there in regards to God's grace. And here, obviously, for Lot, that would mean being burned up, fired up with all the other faggots on the fire, so to speak, in Sodom and Gomorrah. 5 and verse 17. The angel that led Lot outside Sodom gave him four commands with a warning. A, escape for your life, number one. B, do not look behind you, number two. C, do not stay anywhere in the valley, number three. Four, escape to the mountains. And then the warning, E, lest you be swept away. Six, now the commands were intended to be taken literally without deviation. He wasn't allegorizing or think that they're symbolic or something like that. No, they'd be taken literally. This is what you need to do, Lot. You need to run like your life depends on it, because it does. You keep your eyes focused to your destiny, where you're going. Don't look back. Don't bother trying to settle down somewhere else along the way or any other place in the valley. In fact, you are to keep a beeline and head straight for the higher elevation, the mountains, which in this particular case would be to the west of what the Dead Sea looks at today, heading towards Mamre, where Abraham's actually located some distance away in that direction in Canaan. So they would be taken literally without deviation. Knowing that, then you got to figure out, okay, now what's going on then, since God grants him an alternative. Seven, what is at stake is Lot's soul, his nephesh, that is the real you and source of life. Escape for your literally soul. Obviously, we recognize it as your life. Your body without your soul is no life. See. And that's what's at stake. The real thing at stake is his soul, over and beyond even really his physical life, though that is obviously included in this scenario. Eight, five times the verb escape, malath, is used in our verses. The importance of to be delivered, literally. Nine, it is seen by some commentaries as a play on Lot's name, Malath, Lot. See, as if to say, quote, Lot was led out of Sodom, end quote. That is, he's released from confinement of certain judgment. He's led out, like he's entrapped in some other way. Yeah, he is entrapped by his STA. That's what entrapped him. His unwillingness to otherwise pursue God's plan for his life in another region, and in witness otherwise. So 10, It means to, quote, be delivered, end quote, and is passive, which takes an outside agent to execute the action of the verb, and is passive, denoting the grace of God's hand, his omnipotence, in the deliverance. While he has to exercise his physical capabilities of walking fast and physically moving, God is providing all the grace and everything necessary for him to reach his expected place of security. He's holding off on the judgment until he gets there. God's timing in things. You never know what God may have in mind in regard to certain timings of events that occur in our lives for whatever reason. It happens at a specific time. Well, maybe some of these things we'll find out later. Phase 3. 11. Once Lot determined to accept God's grace for deliverance, then take seriously the warning in regards to his life, he was then not to look back, which is nabath, the verb nabath, adverb akare. So 12, now the Hebrew verb nabath, translated look, is the same that was used back in chapter 15, verse 5. And it means to look intently or to regard something favorably. This verb is more than just a brief glance back over his shoulder. This verb demands that one, if you will, stops and studiously considers in a favorable way, in a desirous way, whatever they're looking at. Verse 15, it was used in regards to Yahweh taking Abraham out and to contemplate the heavens and the stars in the whole scheme of the covenant and the promise of the promised heir in that, in that respect, and that nothing is impossible for God. See, to contemplate these things. He took him outside and said, now look, that's our word, Nabath, toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. So your sentence shall be. So the second command was not to stop and long for, desire, and contemplate returning back whatsoever. 13, Lot's wife will end up violating this command that cost her her life. Costing her life. That's made clear in verse 26. But his wife from behind him looked back. That's our term, Nabath. And she became a pillar of salt. So the fact that she violated the second of the four commands recognizes point 14. So the first two commands were essential for deliverance. They were essential. Imperative beyond any excuse otherwise. And that is value your life according to God's plan, essentially. And do not long for or give preference to your past life. So 15, these two commands serve to function as a call for reversion recovery with respect to Lot. This whole scenario is once again, as we have been seeing through Genesis, has been renowned to do so far, is teaching once again another spiritual principle that's embedded in regards to this whole situation. It's not just a story about Lot getting out the hell out of Sodom and away from the homosexuals of Sodomites and being delivered. No, it's all about Lot having an opportunity to make reversion recovery in regards to his life, first and foremost. The physical simply, if you will, illustrates the spiritual realities going on. So, truly, what other type of meaning can you place upon not to look back, as it might apply to the immediate situation of the commands given directly to Lot? Apart from he will die, especially in light of the fact that he is able to suggest an alternative after the fact for the remaining two commandments. That's why I said this, this was a fairly challenging verse, truly, to try to put a handle on and make sense out of it. So the first, these two commands, the first two, escape your life, value your life, according to divine directive, escape, be delivered, and do not long for, is a call for reversion and recovery with respect to Lot. 16, Lot has opportunity for a fresh start in life. All this going on, the catastrophe that's going on, all the bad things that everybody else is going to have their eyes on, including Lot, all of his goods, his possessions, property that he owns, that may still be there in Sodom, in that particular region, his servants, his slaves that reside outside his home still in there, all this stuff is going to get wasted. And the whole aspect of God, of Lot's deliverance from Sodom, is a chance for him to now get his spiritual act together, if he's so inclined to do so. So 17, now to give Lot credit, he did not resist the angel's hand, as we saw in verse 16, of help in getting out of the city. So, yes, the angels grabbed him by the hands to pull him out, but you see no resistance. They are amenable to this. Lot's amenable. All right. You know, you need a little push, he's going. He's not going to fight this. 18, this is a definitive measure of Lot's phase 2 positive volition. That's about as positive as he gets in his phase 2 life. That he didn't fight the angels to stay otherwise or completely disregard all this. He allowed the circumstances, situations, etc., and he went with it to the degree that he was able to at least save his bacon, personally for himself, from death. 19, as the angel's intercession was God's will for Lot, we have an occasion of Lot momentarily oriented phase 2 in God's plan, albeit by default, by grace. He's representative of a believer, any believer, that can, if you will, by simply going through life, fall into being oriented to God's plan for at least a brief moment here and there. But not because necessarily that they're adjusted and they're positive to God's plan. Understand that. You know, people can be doing things that are in step, but it doesn't mean overall that they're truly adjusted to God's plan in regards to the entire counsel in their life. Lot's only adjusted to part of the imperatives given to him here. Escape, and he doesn't look back. See? So as the angel's intercession was God's will for Lot, obviously that the angels grabbed him, we know that. We have an occasion of Lot momentarily oriented phase 2 in God's plan, albeit by grace, default. 20, but his orientation is short-lived. That's about as far as it goes that we can tell, at least what we have recorded, in regards to Lot and his life. 21, the positive believer here would see God's hand, providing a wake-up call that maybe his path in life was a poor choice. This path, this region that you chose, based on your monetary trend, your grid, for the almighty buck, you knew the people here were extremely evil. You knew their reputation. That's already been told to us. See, their reputation preceded them, and yet you chose this place to facilitate, to feed your sin nature. And obviously the fact that God now has determined, and especially after the events with his own person, life being in danger, the two angels, and now they make it clear that God's getting ready to destroy this place, the discerning believer who is truly positive, would see this. Oh, wow, that was not a good move that I made by moving here. Now I've got to book it, and it's going to cost me because I made this move. And the whole thing serves as a wake-up call, if you will, for Lot. 22, for Lot it is opportunity to reorient to God's geographical and directive will for his life. The geographical will in the alternative is stated. Don't stay anywhere in the valley and head to the mountains. And by doing these things, obviously he then fulfills God's directive will for his life and said vain. Plus the other two commands. 23, not to dismiss the gravity of the judgment at hand. It's a sad state of affairs. There is a silver lining spiritually for Lot. Whatever it may cost him in terms of physical prosperity, in terms of relationships, etc. For God to intervene in this way, deliver him from certain sin unto death, otherwise, that truly is a silver lining. But see, that's not the way the cosmic type of person looks at things. They don't look at it from the spiritual realities of life. They look at it from the physical realities of life. And those things that may otherwise seem bad and hurtful, and not to depreciate suffering, etc., that goes along with these things that are real. The upside is that it could be God giving the individual an opportunity to wake up spiritually and show his hand in a very clear fashion that they need to do so. And it is opportunity now to get his act together and do something according to God's divine directive across the board. The impression I've left with in regards to Lot after going through this, he did his best spiritually when he was with Abraham, wherever it was. He got out on his own. Obviously, his life spiritually went to pot in a complete fashion. But he's a believer. Abraham's iterated the doctrine to Yahweh in regards to the judgment, and he is going to be delivered out of this whole thing in spite of all this. So not to dismiss the gravity of the judgment at hand, how catastrophic it is, the true pressure, suffering that they're enduring here, with the pressure of the expediency and almost a panic situation if you let it get to it that way. There is a silver lining spiritually for Lot. 24, God is removing a major stumbling block, feeding Lot's monetary reversionism. He is in Sodom for one reason, because he can make money. He can profit himself in a big way. God's getting ready to move that. His source, his primary source, major source, at least in his mind, is the region. And the Sodomites and others around there. But it is also the handicap of his reversionism. It is what's feeding his STA and keeping him from otherwise fulfilling God's plan in his life and overruling this aspect of his sin nature in this vein. So God is getting ready to remove a major stumbling block in lost lives. That is inhibiting his spiritual advance, otherwise bringing about the reversionism that he's in. And 25, the principle simply is God may remove things in life that we allow to fuel our STAs in reversionism. Obviously, this is a very dramatic situation of illustrating and teaching this principle, but it remains true nevertheless. And God's free to do this, whether an individual is going to make full reversion recovery or not, if he so chooses. God's going to remove his major stumbling block But Lot's still going to get into his SCA, and he still doesn't make full reversion recovery. So it's kind of, if you will, a lesson of negative volition, even as it applies to a believer, where God's clearly doing things in their life to show them the error of their ways. But if they're going to remain negative and run another SCA, it's not going to do any good anyway, otherwise. But God still makes provision. Lot becomes even more culpable in his life in reality. He was culpable, obviously, being around Abraham big time. But now he's even more culpable in regards to what he does with his life. 26, ironically, God's intercession on behalf of Lot has its intended outcome, as the remainder of Lot's life shows a different economic perspective with him living in a cave. He gets out of there, he goes to Zoar, he doesn't hang out there very long. Next thing you know, he's living in a cave in the mountains. He actually ends up where he's supposed to have gone to begin with. Isn't that ironic? See? And you do not see Lot as the prosperous merchant that otherwise he used to be. So, reversion recovery is, again, part of what's being illustrated here in the language in these situations. As implicit as it may be otherwise, it remains there. And once you see that, then all these other aspects of why, etc., becomes clear. So the irony is that God does remove the economic blanket that he's using to suck his thumb with spiritually. But yet, because he's we find him living in a cave, but yet he still doesn't make an adjustment in his life necessary to be, if you will, the Hall of Famer category, a believer in reversion recovery. And that's point 27, yet as verse 30 shows. He then allows sin fear to reign in his life as consequence for not committing to doctrine otherwise. And Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he's afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. The irony of this whole situation. You can lead a horse to water, but if they're negative, they won't drink. See, that's the principle. God can do all kinds of things for people in their lives. And it doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to, you know, have to be killed. Now his wife, she can't even get past the second hump of the walk, if you will. She's got to look back in this whole scenario. 28 is failure to go on phase 2 positive volition after being, quote, jump-started, as I would call it, end quote, finds us compromised and in Lot taking issue now with the final two commands. He is now going to take issue with the final two directives, and this reveals his continuing compromising approach to life in his hypocritical fashion. The hypocrisy of Lot's life he's still not able to overcome that and put that aside sufficiently to make full reversion recovery. And we'll deal with that Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continues to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.